Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Luke chapter 1, we find the account of the angel Gabriel going to the Virgin Mary and explaining to her that she has found favor with the Lord and will give birth to the Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Mary is a young woman of tremendous and honorable character. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn to emulate the wonderful and profound character of Mary.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another teaching. And whew, it's a good afternoon to be with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, growing to know him, growing to love him, growing to obey him, growing to be like him, growing to repent for the seemingly numerous, almost countless ways that I'm not. But I do rejoice that I am growing to be more like him, and you ought to as well. Remember, we talk a lot about the ways we're not about Jesus, but there should never be any condemnation. There should never be any shame. There should never be any guilt, but there should be genuine conviction. It's our job as Christians to read the Bible, to look into it like a mirror, as James says in chapter 1, and where the Bible reflects back to us, when we read it, it reflects back to us what's out of place. That's the purpose of a mirror, by the way. Okay, the purpose of the mirror is not to stand in front of it and admire ourselves like Fonzie, right? Hey, right? That's not the purpose of the mirror. The purpose of the mirror is to show you what's out of place so that you could fix it, right? Your face is dirty, your hair is messy, you're unshaven, you know, whatever it is, your clothes are wrinkled. So that there's a revelation right there. Okay. So for those who didn't know that, the purpose of the mirror was not invented to be an instrument of vanity, so you could look at yourself and admire how good the reflection is, right? So again, when we're in the Word of God, like a mirror, when we look into the Word of God and it shows us or reflects what's out of place, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, but there ought to be a genuine conviction that we want to correct what's out of place. And we're excited that the scripture showed us what's out of place, and we earnestly repent. So thank you, Lord Jesus. So how are we doing? Are you making this a December to remember? You know, I actually thought I made up that title and Stephen Googled it, and apparently it's been used countless times in movies and everything else, right? So I did not make up the title A December to Remember. My mind thought that I did, right? I thought that I had put that together and that was cool. But Stephen informed me it was clearly something I had heard somewhere. But it's kind of an exciting title, right? We want to remember this December as the greatest December of our lives, and walking with Jesus and thinking about Jesus, making this a Christmas Christmas, a Christmas Christmas, a Christmas Christmas, Christmas Christmas, Christmas Christmas, right? More about Jesus, right? All the other things are wonderful. The time in the family and the gifts and the celebrations and the gatherings and the eggnog and the food, you know, and the tree. I love it all, but it needs to be more and more about Jesus and about remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're early in the month, right? So, you know, we're discussing just different aspects of the accounts of the birth of Jesus. And last time we spoke, it was a heavy teaching. It was about the character of Joseph. And I've been working on that. Since I did that teaching, I've been trying to be more like Joseph, which is to say to not have to complain or be upset or be mad or, you know, be frustrated, you know, when I'm disrespected or when I'm dishonored or when people treat me in a hurtful way or a selfish way. And most of all, that I don't need to tell anybody about it. Remember, we talked last time that Joseph was called a righteous man because when he was so devastated, when he believed that Mary had utterly betrayed him, when he believed that Mary had cheated on him and it had been an adultery and gotten pregnant by another man, you know, he didn't go off and tell anyone that would listen. He didn't have to go tell people, you know what that woman did to me. He actually did not want her to be disgraced. He did not want her to be hurt. He did not want other people to think poorly of Mary. And I challenged myself and all of us last time about all the silly and immature excuses we make and the kind of foolish things we say, like I tell my wife everything. And again, it's not that we hide things from our spouse, but there's literally no need for you to tell your wife something that's uncomplimentary about someone else or about how someone else, you know, said something to you that was disrespectful or wasn't nice or, you know, again, you know, husbands will have to come home and tell their wives, they'll do it in front of their kids. It's embarrassing, right? And we will, again, we're not like Joseph. And then we'll rationalize it. We'll say things like, I said, I tell my wife everything. I tell my husband everything, or I just need to vent. It's all just immaturity. Okay. Obviously, if it's some major thing or some big thing. Okay. But there should be very few of those. There should be very little reason. Rarely should you need to tell your spouse or anyone else. Okay. If you have a brother or sister in Christ that's more mature than you, someone that you could share something with that's hurt you or bothered you, of course, that's fine. But it has to be a level of maturity in a believer that they're not going to think less of the other person. A guy in our ministry came to me, might have been yesterday or the day before, and was telling me about a family problem he was having. And the family was going through, you know, just a lot of squabbles and a lot of difficulties. And he shares it with me because I'm his pastor. And, and I had explained to him that, you know, that one of the things that one of the family's members had said was correct. And he actually did it. He actually went and apologized. And it was just it was an impressive thing for this guy to do. But he took the time to apologize, even though he had been mistreated in many ways. And, you know, he came to me with it because I am a spiritual father to him. And he knows he can confide in me. But the vast majority of the time, there is very little need for you or I to ever speak negatively to someone else about another person, whether it's your wife or children or anyone else. Now, let that sit, because that's what it means to have the character of Joseph. Again, when we're disrespected, when we're hurt, you know, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. We consistently want to expose people for the wrong that they've done or the bad that we've done. And again, we'll come up with every rationalization why to do it. There'll be people listening to this that instead of saying, amen, John, I repent, I'll do better, I'm just wrong and I'm a baby when I do it, you can find rationalizations in your mind. I see it in myself. So when you do that, just repent, because you want to be a man that's more like Joseph. And even as women, we want to emulate, not we, women, you want to emulate that quality of character. All that is to say, can you guess what today's teaching is going to be about? The last one was the character of Joseph. So naturally, today's will be, see if you can guess, 3, 2, 1, the character of Mary. When you look into the scriptures, you see this young woman, probably 15, 16 years old. The angel Gabriel comes to her. You know, some call Gabriel God's enforcer. He's God's messenger that delivers, you know, what the Lord has given him to say, and he makes sure it gets done. And there's some serious places in the Bible, Daniel 10 being the biggest one, where he's given a message to deliver to Daniel. And Satan and all his legion of demons is preventing Gabriel from getting through. So he's got to call back to Archangel Michael, war angel, to come help him. And together, Gabriel and Michael and their boys are able to push back Satan and his demons, and Gabriel's able to get through in answer to the prayer of Daniel, who'd been praying 21 days or 3 weeks. See, you got me all excited now. Golly, sometimes we don't understand what's happening behind the scenes when we're praying. But when you look at this young woman, Mary is someone for us all to emulate, okay? You're not called to worship Mary, okay? You're not called to pray to Mary. Do not pray or worship any being, any spiritual being, any human being alive or dead, except God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Each person of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, deserves our praise, our worship, our thanksgiving. We can go to each member of our triune God in prayer, and those are the only ones we go to. You don't pray to human beings alive or dead. You don't pray to angels or demons. Okay? So there's a simple rule for you there. Okay? You pray and praise and worship your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit only. But when we look at this young woman, and again, her character really is profound. I mean, again, she's probably 15, 16 years old. At that time, women married very young because, you know, the lifespan might have been early 30s, right? So, she's already engaged to be married to Joseph. Remember, engagement in those days, you needed a certificate of divorce. If you're engaged in our time and you break it off, you don't do anything, right? A certificate of divorce is needed in our world once a marriage has happened, but not when an engagement has happened, okay? But in this time, even if you were engaged or betrothed, you would have had to have a certificate of divorce to get that undone. You were engaged, you were betrothed, you had not come together yet in sexual intimacy, so you weren't yet married. But it was a much, much deeper commitment. And I'm going to start in Luke 1, verse 26. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, your grace, your wonder, your love in our lives. Father, we thank you that we get to do this. We thank you that we have our Bible. We thank you that we have the Word of God. We thank you for Christmas. 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 Father, we thank you. We ask you to help us to make this a true December, that we remember Jesus more and more and more and more. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. So again, I'm going to read starting in verse 26, Luke 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Right there, okay? Already we can see the character of Mary. And we're going to read later down in the chapter why this is. But why is she highly favored? It's not arbitrary, right? It's not that our Heavenly Father is just picking out some young girl. It's because she is a devout, extremely devout young woman who walks in the fear of the Lord, who humbles herself before Jesus, who labors to obey the word of God, and who knows her Bible, knows that that her Bible told her that a Messiah was coming, a Savior was coming. The angel went to her, verse 28, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Jesus is with you. Is there any better compliment than that? I mean, again, we've talked about this before, but it's the spiritual blessings. I mean, what would be better, right, than you hearing or having a dream or whatever, just hearing the Lord say to you, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Man. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." How'd you like to hear that? You have found favor with God. There's a reason. Because of her Christ-like, godly character. Verse 31. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." So you see, Jesus chose his own name before he was born. Mary didn't just pick the name Jesus. Joseph, as we see in Matthew 1, was also commanded what to call him. Because it would have been the man who would have named him. So Mary certainly would have told Joseph, but Joseph would have had the ultimate say. And, you know, they're both commanded, "You're going to call him Jesus. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. Golly. I mean, just thinking about that, it's overwhelming. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Joseph now is devastated. He's hurt. And he's just considering how he can walk away, tuck his tail between his legs, go off into the sunset quietly, not tell anybody about this. In his mind, undoubtedly, he's going to allow Mary and what he believes to be the man who made her pregnant to have a life together. And that way she won't be hurt. She won't be humiliated. I love the phrase, "but after he had considered this," because most of the time when we're hurt, we don't consider anything. We just want to tell anyone who will listen. Don't get me started. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So again, you see that Mary first is the one that's told first by Gabriel that she's going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, and she's to name him Jesus. And then Joseph is told in the dream by Gabriel that you are to name him Jesus. All right. Back to Luke. Verse 34, Luke 1. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Kind of a good question, right? Never happened before. We see earlier in the chapter that Elizabeth, you know, who could be 60 or 65 years old, well past childbearing years, okay? Menopause done, everything done, cannot have a child. It's done. Can't do it, right? Cannot physically happen. She could be 60 to 70 years old. It's well past that time. But the Lord miraculously opens her womb and, you know, she actually does get pregnant, you know, by the normal way of coming together with her husband in sexual relations. And she's pregnant. Okay. Now that was a miracle as well. Okay. But it was a miracle done, you know, in a different kind of way. The husband and wife still came together in a normal way. A baby is made. But obviously miraculous. This is a different kind of miracle now. Okay. Verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 36, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." Verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Mary was pregnant because the Holy Spirit came on her and willed it, and immediately Jesus is conceived in her womb. Yeah, that's a different kind of miracle now, right? Obviously nothing sexual about it. The Holy Spirit comes over her, thinks it, wills it, and it happens. That's the power of each person of our triune God. God the Holy Spirit simply wills it, chooses it. She's pregnant. Look at verse 38 again. I mean, how often do you say this? This is what I mean. As men and women, we need to emulate the character of Joseph. And we certainly need to emulate the character of Mary. Okay? Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. You see that, Stephen? You'd ask the angel another 100 questions. Yeah, but what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? How about this? How are you going to do this? How you got to do this? Hold on a minute. I mean, how am I supposed to do this? What am I supposed to say to my dad? Wait a minute. How am I supposed to handle it? Not Mary. Mary asked one reasonable question. Kind of a reasonable question, right? Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked. Since I'm a virgin. Short question. The angel then explains it to her. Clearly, no more questions. No more 100 questions. I'm telling you, I could ask guys to do something and I'm discipling. I mean, I got to go up and down. And I got to, you know, they just can't do what I asked. And how much do we do this with the Lord? How often when you open your Bible and read in the Word of God, what you're supposed to do you simply say, I am the Lord's servant. Amen. I'll do it, Jesus. I don't know that I know anyone like that. I certainly got a lot of room to grow to be like this. Look at the character of this incredible young woman, 16 years old, maybe. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. That ought to be your answer to everything. I'm a servant of Jesus. I'm a servant of Jesus. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left. You notice she didn't keep them and pounce on them with another 100, 125, 130 questions, right? You know, with another good 20 or 30 yeah buts. Yeah, but it's one word, right? Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, what about this? Yeah, but, yeah, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Should make that into a short, Stephen. Yeah, but, yeah, but. No yeah buts from Mary. I am the Lord's servant. I'm convicted right now talking about this because I just, again, you know, I'm almost 56 years old. I'm still not a man that enough simply says, enough questions, John, enough talking, enough complaining. All I want to hear from you is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. How about this woman of God? You got a 16-year-old incredible woman of God to emulate, and now here you got a 65, 70-year-old woman of God to emulate. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, just so you know, she was filled with the Holy Spirit because Jesus inside Mary had entered the house. Okay? Mary has incredible character. She's not divine. She is human. She is still sinful. Okay? She's not perfect. Okay? Now, her character is incredible. Far better than the vast majority of us. Right? Almost all of us, really. Okay? That's why we want to emulate her character. But her and Joseph are still fallen sinners, and they need Jesus as Savior. It's extremely important we understand. Okay? We honor Mary for her character. We honor Joseph. We honor the men and women of God in the Bible who walked and obeyed the word of God and were used by the Lord and humbled themselves. But they're sinners just like we are. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. This is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Right? Y'all didn't know they met. Right? 6 months apart. And remember what Jesus said to John the Baptist? Of those born of women, there hasn't been one greater than this. You got to go to heaven to find someone better than John the Baptist. That's a whole other teaching. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 42, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. She is blessed, right? It's quite the privilege, the overwhelming privilege, even though she is a woman of character, okay? Again, she's not sinless, okay? And it's, again, it's extremely important to understand she is Jesus's earthly mother. She is the mother of the man, Jesus. She's not the mother of the second person of the Trinity, Almighty God, okay? That is a very important distinction. And I know that some people have a problem with that, okay? It should be obvious, okay? She is the mother of the man Jesus, right? She was chosen. It's an incredible honor. I think it's going to be the next teaching where I talk about, you know, because of the, you know, what's going to be the incredible reward for this overwhelming character of Joseph and Mary. You're going to see that given this incredible privilege to be the earthly parents of Jesus is going to come with just unbelievable hardships. And when we talk about that, I mean, y'all are going to, you almost got to laugh. It's so ridiculous how hard the Lord makes it for Joseph and Mary. We already talked about Joseph, that, you know, why the Lord had to make it so hard on him. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Verse 43, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How about that? That's a woman probably 50 years older than her, you know, just understands how blessed Mary is. And she understands that the baby in Mary is Jesus. Look at that verse 43, Elizabeth. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. That's because Jesus was in there. That's what we all ought to be doing this Christmas, is leaping for joy. John the Baptist leaped for joy because he was next to Jesus. There's a teaching, right? There's a short. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And we'll end here. It's called Mary's Song. Again, look at the character of this woman. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. How often do y'all say that? I don't say it enough, right? I say a lot of stupid stuff, but I don't say my soul glorifies the Lord. And she means it. Her whole mind, will, and emotions want to glorify Jesus. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She means this. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Probably the single most important virtue of Mary. Genuine humility. You saw the humility earlier. I am the Lord's servant, Mary declared. May it be unto me as you have said. When we ask a lot of questions, when we say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, it shows a lack of humility. It shows a pride. It shows that we think we know better. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. This woman knows her Bible, okay? How does she know all this? She's 16 years old. She had the Old Testament. Apparently, she knows the word of God. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. We all been scattered there, right? He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham. She's 16 years old. How does she know the whole Old Testament better than almost any of us do? She's been spending time in the Bible. Look what she says. Verse 54, speaking about Jesus, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Again, she recognizes that the men of God and the fathers, and she's honoring them. Again, you just, whether you're a man or woman, you want to be more like this. You want to have the character of this woman, Mary. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Mary goes back home. She's 3 months pregnant now. Elizabeth is 9 months. You'll see the birth of John the Baptist if you want to read on the next few verses. I mean, it's on, y'all. I'm excited. It's on like Donkey Kong. It's an expression. I don't know if any of y'all played Donkey Kong on the arcade machine like I did in the early 80s. It's a fun game, Donkey Kong. Anyway, again, the character of Mary. You've seen the character of Joseph, the character of Mary, and we want to emulate that character, okay? We want to make our character like that. Again, we don't, you know, we don't praise or worship, you know, or give thanks or prayer, right? Or reverence Mary or Joseph, okay? But we are thankful for the way they serve the Lord, and they are an example to us, and we want to have character like they do. I really do, y'all. Do you want to be more like Joseph and more like Mary when it comes to these things? And just stop being like, I don't know, immature children? I would. All right. Well, there you have it. So again, next time, Lord willing, we're going to talk about now that this is an overwhelming privilege. And they're going to go through just unbelievable suffering because of it. Mary already has. Mary could be killed. If not for having a husband like Joseph. Well, Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the incredible character of Mary, Lord. Thank you for the character of Joseph, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you do honor godly character. Father, we thank you. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. I thank you that Joseph or Mary weren't saved by their own righteousness, anything they had done. But I thank you that they did live a lifestyle of righteousness, Joseph and Mary. And Father, convict us. Help us to be more like that. Holy Spirit, point us to Jesus, and that we may look into these scriptures and see the character of Mary. And convict us, Holy Spirit, that we would want to be more like her in these ways where she honored you, Jesus, the way she loved you, the way she served you, unwittingly knowing that she's already serving the God-man that's living in her womb. Wow. Father, we love you and bless you, Jesus. We honor you. Holy Spirit, seal it to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.